sometimes that's what we have to do. All night we want to call on the name of the Lord and let him know, God, we're not turning it loose until you bless us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm just so grateful unto Almighty God this morning who has all the power. There is no higher power. And when we go to all power, we're looking and expecting results. And he's that kind of God. He won't fail us. He won't turn us away. He said he would never leave us nor forsake us. Therefore, he will be with us until the end. And so I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful this morning. And I thank him this day for all he has done, for what he's doing right now, and for what he's going to do. He's a great God, and he's on our side today. Hallelujah. All power is on our side. And I can hear the question being asked, is there anything too hard for God? Hallelujah. I don't think so this morning. So listen, let's go to prayer. And after prayer, we'll have our morning scripture. And after the morning scripture, brief announcements. And we're bringing in our guest this morning, none other than Mr. Tom Gamble. And he will share with us self-defense, women's awareness, and protecting our children. So he'll be sharing that with us today, and we're just grateful unto Almighty God for lessons, for information, good information that's beneficial to us, because we know that the world is getting wickeder and wiser, and things have really changed out here. Nothing basically is the same but God. Hallelujah. And so we thank him today. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come this morning, Father, thanking you for another day. We thank you for our life. We thank you for our health and strength. We thank you this morning for waking us up, watching over us as we slumbered and slept. Father, you're a great God, and you're on our side today in spite of us. We thank you this morning for looking beyond our faults and yet meeting our needs. Father, we thank you for blessing us in spite of us. Father, no matter what, you're right there. We thank you for forgiveness this morning, for your forgiving God. And you love us today, loved us so much. You allowed your son to suffer, hang, bleed, die, conquer all, and rise with all power for us. And we're grateful unto you this morning. We appreciate you. And Father, we love you this day. For it was you who first loved us. We come this morning bringing every caller and every listener. And Father, we ask today that you would bless them coming in and bless them going out. And Father, we ask today that you would remind your people that you're Almighty God and there's nothing too hard for you to do. Remind them today they have not because they ask not. And Father, your word didn't say we have to beg. It simply said ask. And it'll be given, seek, and we'll find. Knock, and the door will be open. And help us this morning, Father, to ask you for the things that we need. Help us this morning to seek your face and turn from our wicked ways. Help us this morning, Father, to knock on your door, knowing that you will open it unto us. We ask this morning in the name of Jesus. And, Father, help us this day to become a spiritual people, because you're a spiritual God. Help us not to focus so much on the natural, because this too shall pass. But that which is spiritual will remain. And Father, help us to walk in the Spirit, your Spirit, that we don't fulfill the lust of our flesh. Help us not to lean to our own understanding, but God, help us to acknowledge you in all our ways. All you direct our path. And Father, we thank you for blessing us in these ways as we have just submit to you and remember. Father, I ask that you would bless every caller and every listener. Bless their households, God. Bless their children, their families. Move by your Spirit today for these your people in the name of Jesus. This morning, Father, we ask that you would bless those that are sick, those that are incarcerated, those that are in mental health institutions and nursing homes, hospitals, God, today. Rehabilitation centers, bless as only you can do. Heal this morning. Men have gotten diagnosis that it's just not right and it's not according to your word. But Lord, We ask this morning that you would touch and heal. We know that you took a beating for the healing of the nation. And there's yet healing in the hem of your garment. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you. And we give glory, honor, and praise to you. Father, we ask that those that are incarcerated, you would set them free. For whom the Son set free is free indeed. Bless those in every branch of the military. Father, this morning we ask that you would save children. Sanctify them today, God. Fill them with your spirit. Cover them in your blood today. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Father, bring parents back to their right mind to know what children should know and what they shouldn't know at an early age. Lord, help today in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we pray for every Block Talk host, teaching and preaching Jesus, leading others to you through your Son. Bless today, as only you can do. Bless the said men of Jesus in the morning. Have your way here today, oh God. Lord, send valuable information that your people can use. Lord, we ask that you would bless Tom and bless his family, God. And Lord, the things that he's doing unto you, we ask this morning that you would move upon his mightily for your glory and that he come out with the testimony. In the name of Jesus, we ask it all. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we thank the Lord. We thank him. I have one quick song request, and I'm going to this request this morning. And after this, we'll come back with our morning scripture reading. Tell that. of the Lord, see. So some of us, we're so quiet and people don't know who we are, what we got. But if you have been redeemed back to Almighty God, which he redeemed us all, then we should run and tell that. We should talk of his wondrous works. We should make known his deeds among the people. But see, we want to look like everybody else, and we don't want to look peculiar or strange or out of place. So we just blend in with everybody else and appear to be as they are. But I want to be different. He's been good to me. Oh, yeah. Not only did God save me, he sanctified me. He set me aside unto himself. And then he filled me with his spirit. And I have to run and tell that. Somebody else needs the same thing that I needed. Somebody needed to be delivered, set free. They needed to be clothed in their right mind. They needed to know that their Redeemer lives. They needed to know that there is a Savior. Hallelujah. And the only way many are going to know is if we share it with them. So I'm running and telling what he's done for me. He set me free. Hallelujah. I'm grateful unto him this morning for God. Ha. Has been mighty good to me over and over and over again. Yes, every time I look around, he keeps on blessing me. And not just with stuff and things. Oh, no, not with money. Oh, no. But he blessed me to see the move of him. He blessed me to hear when he speaks to my heart. Hallelujah. And sometimes he'll speak to me concerning others. Oh, I thank him today. He's that kind of God. But all this come about through having constant fellowship and communion with him. You'll know his voice if you got this going on. Now, if you're hitting and missing and you're leaning to your own understanding and you don't really acknowledge him in all your ways, you acknowledge him in some of them, then you'll hit and miss, or you won't hear at all. But if you're not leaning to your own understanding, you're trusting him, you're not wise in your own eyes, you fear God and you're departing from evil, guess what? You're going to hear from heaven. Hallelujah. Our scripture reading this morning, I'm looking at Luke, the 4th chapter, and I love this passage, these particular passages of scripture. A guy gave this to me many years ago in Orlando. And at one time, he was the minister. And so I often think about this, and it blesses me over and over again to know this information and keep it handy, you know, in the forefront of my mind. Hallelujah. And this is what it says. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Hallelujah. And this is Jesus speaking. And so this is wonderful information, because if God sent him to do it, he sent us. He sent us to do the same thing. And so this is where our hearts are at. To gather up as many sheep as we can to come into the fold. Yeah, we lift up the name of Jesus and he will do the drawing. And if we lift him up and he does not, and the people don't come, that means he's not drawing them. The only way they can come to him, he must do the drawing. I know many of us, we think we do the drawing by what we say. We think we're doing the drawing by the way we sing. We think we're doing the drawing because of the church we attend. No, he said if he be lifted up, he will draw all men unto him. And I believe in America, there are not too many folk who have not heard about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and what he did before he got to Calvary, what he did going up to Calvary, and once he got on up to hear what he did. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You can rarely hear that name in the earth anymore. Yeah. All right, now, so what we're doing now, we're going to bring in our guest for the day. Y'all hear noise, that's the grandbaby getting ready for school. But we're going to bring in our guest this morning, none other than Mr. Tom Gambia. Good morning, Tom. God bless you. How are you today?
I'm doing good. How you doing, Sister Mac? Thank you for bringing me on again. I appreciate that.
Yes, Yes, no problem, no problem. So listen, at this time, I'm going to turn the floor over to you.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. I want to talk this morning about women's awareness, children, and what, you know, just basically what a situation out in the streets like. I've taught this for a number of years, going back actually to the 1980s, the late 80s. And what I'm going to talk about today is just a basic step. Then we'll go into women's awareness and then how to protect the children. Now, understand we have maybe an hour or so, and then you want questions to be, you know, be allowed between 8:30 and 9 or so, give or take, right? Hello? Okay. You know, part of where self-defense comes from is in the mind, because you got to be mentally prepared. Doesn't mean you always go out being paranoid, but you almost always must be aware. But nowadays, it's also being aware in your home, because of home invasions and so forth. It's to be aware of your surroundings is the most important thing in all cases. But, of course, the number one thing is to have faith in God and His principles. If you don't have faith in God, you'll always work around in fear. The idea of Satan and the demonic realm is to always keep you in fear, because the more fear you have, well, it's kind of a, I guess, reflective on the amount of faith you have to a certain extent. If I cause you more fear, because Peter is a good example of that. You know, y'all know the story about Peter. Because Peter was walking on the water when he saw Jesus coming to him. And then he got fearful. Peter started sinking. So actually, Peter's body was affected. The DNA, the molecules were affected because of his faith. And when God detected that his faith was overcome by fear, his body started changing. Enough, literally, he started sinking in the water. And then he started, "Lord, grab me, you know, save me." Well, a self-defense technique that has worked in a lot of cases is where the woman or the one that's a target, the victim, has used scripture, has used talking about God, praying to God, has worked many occasions. I mean, you might say, well, of course. Well, some people don't think that's a self-defense technique. Not to trivialize it, but that's probably the first one you want to use, is pray the blood of Jesus around you before you go out. The idea of self-defense, if you want to look at it in that perspective, because that is where it's all coming from, is from supernatural interference and influence. That's one thing not taught in defense techniques and methods, is the supernatural realm that wants to cause fear to come inside your body. So I'll talk about it from both angles. That's how I look at it. Because those that don't have the faith in God certainly have to depend upon their own devices to get through the situation. And sometimes when they depend on their own devices, they are devices that they have to go through what secular folks have to go through, if you understand what I mean. And then sometimes things will happen to those for whatever reason, God knows. But you got to have faith no matter what. So we'll talk about it from a secular and a spiritual point of view. First of all, whenever an attack happens, you have to use your instincts before the attack ever happens. No one has the right to hurt you. And when you use techniques, you make it loud and sometimes rude and sometimes cause a scene. You know, in some cases, women have said, you know, "I'll pray for you," or pray in the blood of protection around you, to sense danger before your brain can register it. You feel the skin prickling on your body. Sometimes you feel like you've been watched. It's not paranoia, because someone may, because I'll tell you the five steps shortly about what they go through, what happens in a bad situation, a self-defense situation. There's five steps, but I want to describe some principles first. Also, the two-second rule. Any technique that you employ, whatever decision you make, I call it the two-second rule. The two-second rule is that if the secular technique doesn't work, then in 2 seconds you do something else. You shift your awareness to another method, another technique, another approach, if you will. And certainly don't allow anger to control your emotions. But you always have faith. You got to have faith in all cases. Now, when a situation develops out in the street, you have what I call like a traffic light. Green, yellow, and a stop. The green light is anticipation and excess, the yellow, and the action is to stop it. You control fear by controlling the mind. Focus on solutions, not the danger. So there's where you focus on the danger, you focus on the fear. But you need to focus on the solutions, and I'll tell you how. First of all, your anxiety will develop. And anxiety is the first stage. And anxiety is, oh, here comes trouble. Or you have that, you know, where your skin is prickly. Like you're like, oh, this isn't something, I'm uncomfortable about the situation. If you go down a dark alley, you should be uncomfortable already. So don't put yourself out in position to where you're going to be attacked. All right? But anxiety is the first level that you go through. And then there's the all-know. It's a sense of dread. The weakness and lack of control will set in. That's when you see 3 or 4 people approach you. They are pointing at you, yelling obscenities, where you know it's something coming at you. But if you focus only on the danger, you will tend to feel weak. Survival. You don't give in to panic. You think of your ability to respond. You realize what has to be done, and you start to do it. And you look for calm strength and clarity of mind. The only way to do that is by breath control. Now, certainly, in all cases, we look at the spiritual. That's assumed in all this. But I'm giving you, like I said, secular type of self-defense. I never used to say it like that until I started became born again. And then you have that, you know, that thin line between your dependency on God and then your self-defense of where you're going to hurt somebody. There is a thin line there. You know, being former military, there's a thin line, too, I have between going to war now and my thoughts on that and, you know, me being born again Christian. There is a thin line. That's another program, another day. But response, you think of what you're going to do and you do it, and it can happen in a flash of a second. Clarity of mind. Fear can generate physical and mental strength. But the one way, one main way that you can calm yourself down in a bad situation, it's even in an argument, for example, is by breath control. Because when we lose that control, the way you lose control is by anxiety develops, you hold your breath every time. You stop breathing. And it's your own doing because of the anxiety that develops. And when you hold your breath, what happens? You lose oxygen to the brain. So you panic. And you're one of the causes of it. You see, so what you do is you start breathing through your nose, out your mouth, and you calm yourself down by breathing. You make an assessment of the situation, especially in the first 20 or 30 seconds. Now, you can't make an assessment of a situation if you're under the mindset of having anxiety. So once you get your breathing calmed, you do your prayers. You can do them silently, of course. And you start looking around if this person or persons have friends, how many, what the hands are doing, what weapons do they have, routes of escape where you can leave, run if you have to. If you have to, cover and concealment, if you have to jump behind something or if you use something or maybe you don't have any, you might have to make sure you can escape. Now, there's methods of verbal control. It also depends on the situation. So first I'm going to talk to you about the 5 T's. And the 5 T's are your stages of an attack in most in all cases. Here are the five T's, for example. The first stage of an attack is where they are staring at you or excessive attention. They're looking for an easy victim. Now, they may have been following you for a while. That's where your awareness comes in, to where you see the same car, the same person on the sidewalk. Wherever you go, that same person. You have to be aware of what's around you. But they'll look for an easy victim. They won't look for a hardcore victim. The management to this is prevent or learn to be safe in the street. Stay in a lax awareness state and how you walk. If you walk around like you're looking at the store, and I mean looking at the windows, shopping, or messing with your keys or your cell phone, that's the big one right there, and you just la-la-la land, and you're unaware and just kind of walking around kind of like you're a victim, that's what Jesus is going to think you. They are going to think you to be a victim. So you walk around like you're going somewhere, like you're aware of what's around you, you know, and that presents what we call a hard target. But excessive attention means somebody's watching you, staring at you for what reason? Well, maybe you got something on your lip, I don't know. Maybe you got a funny looking dress or a coat or a pair, but you notice that somebody is watching you. And more than 2 seconds is usually a stare. Because normally people don't look at you more than about 2-3 seconds. Look to you, unless you're acting funny. So the first stage of an attack is the target, to look for a victim. Well, you look at them looking for a victim is what you do. Number two is they'll test the victim. They'll confront the target, you, in some way to test their choice that they've made. So in other words, they may come up with repetitive questions. May ask you about directions. This has happened more than one occasion. May ask you or make a comment about the dog you're walking or about something you're wearing or they're lost or do you have a cigarette, do you have a light or something like this. And then they'll have multiple questions. Is this everyone? No, it's not everyone. But this is a key indicator to get your red light on of being aware. They may have exaggerated movement. What does that mean? Well, when you moving your hands, you just kind of move them like 2-3 inches, up and down, sideways, whatever, like you're Italian. But if you start throwing your hands around, or pointing, or doing hand signs, you should be aware of this, because that's a sign of aggression. When they start wiping their face, they start rubbing their forehead, rubbing the back of the neck, talking. There's anxiety there of some kind. You don't know what the reason is, but pick it up on it. What you might want to do at this point is to redirect in a direct manner. And an aggressive action may not be warranted at this point, but you might want to have to show confidence in your answers back or that you can't talk to the person or show that you're confident of yourself at this point because they're testing whether or not you're a good target. They picked you out as one. Now they're going to test you. Now, there is all kinds of different techniques depending how severe this may become. It may be an easy approach or may be where they're actually aggressive and you know it. So there's different ways to manage this part, but a threat needs to be controlled. And they may threaten you with a verbal weapon or actual physical harm because that is the third stage. The third stage is threaten. So the first stage is what? To target. They look for a victim. Scan the area. Or they're following you because you've been picked as a victim. Number two is they'll come up and test you. Repetitive questions, exaggerated movement, and their facial wipes. That's indication of nervousness or looking around. And the third stage is to threaten you. If you failed the part about the test, and you responded like a victim, scared, nervous, unaware, you jerky, they'll feel confident. And that will lead them to the third stage, which will be threatened stage. So at that point, they need control. And what they'll do is they'll use verbal threats. Or they'll have a weapon. That would be hard to figure out. Or actual physical harm. Well, at this point, you've got all kinds of different options. I just give you an idea for a woman to look at. Faking a seizure. I've heard about starting to bark, eating grass, or slobbering, or babbling, or vomiting, or picking your nose, or acting crazy, severely ill, or gross out the attacker. I mean, you got all kinds of ideas because you're in a bad situation. But I have heard of many, actually, where the woman would witness about the love of Jesus to the person, and it worked almost every time that I've heard it. Has it worked every time? I don't know. But I know it's worked several times of cases I've heard about. Especially in home invasions, where the attacker just stopped what he's doing and walked out. You see, calling on the name of Jesus. That is a defense technique. It is actually be the first one I would ever use, to tell you the truth. That should be the first one. So in management, to neutralize the aggressive action by a counterattack of equal intensity if you're going the physical and secular method. But you got to know what you're doing if you're doing a physical technique. Because if a person's bigger, you're just going to anger them. So you got to let the Spirit guide you. The fourth stage is the touch stage. And that's the actual mugging or the rape or the attack of some kind. They want to inflict pain or physical harm to you. At that point, you're into a black state of awareness. Means you're not thinking anymore. Your mind is shut off. You see, and so at this point, you're going to react how you've been training. And at that point, you know, if you're not self-defense oriented, then you're going to become a victim. And that's not, that's what happens on occasion. You've got physical techniques. You got eyes, your fingers to the eyes, hitting the ears with the palms of your hand. This is secular techniques. A palm heel with your palm heel, but right above, right at the base of your palm of your hand into the nose. You see these things. But, you know, anytime you do an attack, you always got to follow up. You know, and if you got multiple, that in itself is a problem, to say the least. That's where self-defense has to come in, but you got to be trained and know what you're doing. So you see what the best technique is not put yourself in that situation. The second is prayer. Because when you get in this condition right now, if you are not trained in self-defense, you're going to be a victim. And so then we go into the fifth stage, which is the takeoff stage. The takeoff stage is where the rape or the attack, the assault, the house break-in has already occurred, and the attacker is going to make a run for it. He's going to leave. So the decision is to run or kill the victim. In maiming and killing, inflict extensive permanent damage or kill the person. To deprive the attacker of life is, that's your choice. If you have that opportunity at that point, the attack has already occurred, but you know he's going to make a decision about whether you're going to live or whether you're going to die. So, unfortunately, some people, when they think about these things at home, they get nervous and afraid, so they quit thinking about it. But in your home, you've got knives, you've got frying pans, you've got certain things, pepper in your hand, or certain things. Anything around you is a weapon if it becomes to that point. If you're not trained in martial arts, it's better not to use it, what you saw on TV, because it'll work against you. So you look for weapons around your home that you may have to use. But mind control, mind is the best weapon you have. And talking your way out of the situation. And witnessing about the love of Jesus. Praying to Jesus. These are very relative defense techniques. Now, I'm not going to talk a lot about the defense techniques because, really, unless you've taken a course in self-defense, it's going to be hard for you to understand what I'm talking about. If you have taken some courses in self-defense, it's going to be easier for you to maybe use them. But for me to describe them now would be, a little bit backwards because you have to actually feel it and see it and how it's operating. So, but I'll give you some ideas about the beginning of an attack. Now, what I want to move into is about rape. And this is the same thing, because a stranger, as they call it, rape, date rape, it's all rape from the position of a woman. It's rape, no matter what. You may know the person, which is the most rapes that occur, including husband, friends, dating, can come from anyone. And then the rape idea, the rape, the crime of rape, is usually considered to be, well, it should be a stranger. But it's quite the opposite. 80% of rapes are those they know. Because there's a lot of myths about rapes. And you know, there's a really dramatic increase in women that lives alone, and women in the workforce, working odd hours and placing them in positions that's vulnerable. And every female is a potential victim. And reports, and you also have male. As a matter of fact, in the military, since the government has now said that those that's homosexual can come out and declare themselves homosexual in public. See, before it was no ask, don't tell in 1990s. So here's the point. Before, I don't want to go into that. That's not the issue. But the point is, there have been 15,000, 2011, 2012, there's like 15,000 male-to-male sexual assaults. And females are like 11,000. You know, so this is, it's kind of switched around a little bit. The profile of a victim is that they're easily distracted. Individuals have a low awareness level of what's around them and tendency to daydream in public. Or a lack of self-confidence. Individual has a poor self-image of themselves in their walk, and it shows in their body language, as I explained a little while ago. They're easily intimidated. Individual will succumb to verbal threats only. An increase in studies indicate that about 50% of all victims actually complied with a rapist's demands, even though no physical force was used, or a direct no, real loud, like in a date rape, or in a stranger rape. Using loud words and direct, looking them in school. And we look someone in the eye, I said, look them in the eye. Well, yes and no. If you look down, that's submissive. If your eyes are wide, that's fear. So you got to calm yourself down. How do you do that? By breathing. And then starting to think. But you only can think when you can breathe. When you look them in the eyes, you don't look them in the eyes. You look them in the forehead. I'll tell you why. When you look them in the forehead, it looks like that you look them in the eyes, but you're not looking directly into the soul, into the eyes of the person that can pull you in and mesmerize you, because the evil that may lay behind them. That's really what it boils down to get with it. So if you look them in the forehead, it looks like you look them in the eyes, but you're not affected by the what comes out of their eyes, if you know. If you ever played that staring contest, who's going to laugh and you look each other in the eyes? Well, that's what you're playing there. When you look in the forehead, you win every time, because you're not pulled in by their emotion, you see, and by their what they exhibit out of themselves. You're not pulled into their soul, if you will, because the eyes are the windows of the soul. So when you're looking eye to eye, you're looking soul to soul, and they can see fear in you if you have fear. So look at the forehead as your point of eye contact. It's a forehead, but it looks like you're looking in the eyes. You see, it works. Someone being overly trusting, individual accepting the story at face value without checking its authenticity. Now, they also look out for vans. They use vans extensively for kidnappings. And what the average person on the street don't realize, they know the crimes out there, and they think kidnap is about rape. But a lot of cases, especially during holidays. You see, what people don't realize, all our holidays, every holiday we have is based on a pagan system, a pagan day, because that's when they want to go for their human sacrifices and their rituals and so forth. And so holidays, all of them, Christmas, Easter, are based on the thinning of the veil between the supernatural realm and this earth. So they do their rituals during this period of time of death and human sacrifice, sex rituals, and so forth. That's what holidays are unfortunately far. They just are, because they're identifying kind of like flags for their pagan holidays, covered over by, a Christian belief or Valentine's Day or candy that you get on Halloween. You know, it's all really identifying the constellations, which shows a power structure in the universe of a thinning veil during that period of time. So they do their ritual, sex magic, in those period of time, so they need bodies. And that's why it increases during the holidays, because that's why they're trying to get the bodies. I'm leaving out a lot of detail, but that's really the bottom line. So that's when you should always be aware of what's going on, especially for children. And, of course, this month, it's like you're getting ready now for the horrible one of Halloween. And then we're going into November, All Saints Day, and then December. All these days are kidnapping and for victims to go for these holidays. Another profile of a victim is being reckless, willing to take unnecessary risks, dangerous shortcuts, staying out late at night, going home with men they just met, or bar hopping and so forth, not watching if you're drinking, well, anything. You got to watch your whatever you're drinking, no matter what it is, especially in your parties at school, in college. Big time. A lot of rapes occur. And they look at rape as just, well, you just were as something to slap on the hand, or we'll suspend them for a few days. You know, they don't look at it serious enough in colleges. And they won't report them in colleges because it makes the college look bad, etc. And the schools. So you just don't know. But these sorority and fraternity parties, parties where you go, you don't know too many people, not always wise, especially if you get divided up, because they are looking for a victim in a party. You understand? It's not just out in the street, you know, but in a party. Men, and sometimes women, but mostly men, are looking, young boys are looking for a target. Unfortunately, that's the way it is. But remember that most attackers want a victim and not a fight. So body language has a lot to do with it. How you walk shows a sign of insecurity on an air of confidence. Which do you have? You know, do you walk with your shoulders slumped over and your head down, or looking at, you know, window shopping when you go out, or talking on that darn cell phone? You're not aware what's going on with you, what's going on around you. And they look for that. And body language is 90%, 80, 90% of all communication is body language. They look at how someone carries themselves, and the image you have of yourself is reflected in your body, how you carry yourself. Same thing goes for bullies at school. See, it's all the same, really. It's basic principle. Exercising is a good thing to do because it builds your confidence level, you know, and do whatever it takes to get your self-image back is what you should do, because it reflects on how you approach and how you walk and how you carry yourself. Now, in a rape situation, now I have covered in the past, like I've done a couple of hours of describing what I'm talking about today, but I'm really coming to the quick of it today, obviously. So I talked about the stages of an assault, and I've talked about different ways by asking questions or redirect or fake a seizure or pass out, little things like this as the testing stage, or threaten. I give you some ideas about that and the different stages, types of rapists. Well, a rapist sometimes may appear to be normal, a person, and they change. Their face changes. Their attitude changes, just as a flick of a finger, just like that. Sometimes they'll have a low self-esteem. They'll be frustrated. And they'll have a high rate of sexual dysfunction during the rape. I mean, different reasons why they rape instead of, you know, And this doesn't have to be just a stranger. As I said, it can also be a husband. In 27 plus states, they will actually convict the husband of rape. But that's really hard to prove. They were sometimes sexually abused as children themselves. Sex is not a factor. A choice of expression is what it ends up becoming. Uncontrolled hostility, a quest for power, is what it's really involved in. It's not really for sex. It's a power issue. They're the masters of emotion. They can con someone very easily. There's in your test and your threatened stage. And you have different types of rapists, by the way. Your exploitive rapist is 55%. A date rape. Women can't say no, or they're socially immature, they think, or fighting back would be more effective. They pass out compliments. See, an exploitive rapist, date rape, they call it, it's still rape, is 55%. And women are taught you can't say no. Well, say no. And when you say no to a date rape situation, you say it loud and aggressive. Make a noise. Fighting back in these cases are effective. An anger rapist is about 40%. Now, in an anger type rapist, usually it's a stranger, misplaced anger, hostility, fighting back could increase their rage. See, there, you have to monitor. That's why I said 2-second rule. You got to monitor it. You can't do any of this unless you calm yourself down by breathing. You see how it works? The anger rapist has a poor self-image also. He has fantasies with love. No one can love him. He's angry at somebody. He'll slur his words, and he's usually physically abusive. Then you have, of the total picture, 5%, or psycho, or sadistic. These are the most violent, and they could use weapons. They like to inflict pain, and they don't like witnesses. In one case, I know where the woman, after the rape was complete, that's a takeoff stage, she calmed herself down even after the rape and said, look, you're making a lot of noise. You might cause a disturbance. Let me cook you breakfast. Let me cook you dinner. She was like different than the other victims. He just kind of looked at her and just kind of left her. They come to find out that he's a psycho. He was a sadist. He had killed the other victims because they were victims. But she acted out of the victim stage. She did something different that he never expected. And he let her live. I also know cases where the woman called upon God, called upon Jesus, and it worked. So what am I saying here? I'm saying that let the Spirit guide you. Here's where you really connect with the Spirit of God on these, some of these situations. Indicators of an acquaintance rape, a date rape situation. Look for indicators of the individual. He may talk negatively about women. He maybe gets jealous for no reasons. He'll control the date completely and your life in general. Sometimes you don't see these things until about 90 days after knowing the person. They enjoy being cruel to animals or people. They can bully other people. Because the way he treats other people in a known situation, that's going to treat you later. Watch for these. Don't override, well, he's such a good-looking guy or she's such a good-looking girl. Look for what happens when you become really acquainted, what they do to other people, to other animals, you see, or people they work with. Because when he has control of you, that's how he's going to treat you, usually. They may belittle you in public. Look at these things. You know, try grouping on the first date. Or to your children to do that. Don't be pushed in some isolation because that's what they look for. It's to isolate you. To get away from the crowd. And they'll be insistent upon it. Set limits on your companion so there's no misunderstanding where you're coming from. And don't overindulge in alcohol and drugs. That's a given, actually. And don't take or offer a ride to a new friend. That's never a good idea. And certainly, absolutely, stay away from men who won't take no for an answer. And they're insistent. Well, they should respect your no, no matter what it is. And if they don't, then that, your flag should go up right off the get-go. And don't matter if they go to church, because going to church sometimes is where they look for victims. So, cutting through it, a woman can defend herself, and so can children. But you have to train your children. I'm going to get to that here shortly about what to do for your children. So, the mind must be calmed by what method? By breathing. If you don't do that, everything else goes out the window. Control your fear by controlling your mind. One way to do that is by breathing. And certainly, don't fight a criminal that has a weapon unless you're really, really good at it. Sometimes it's better just to give up the property and have it replaced later or something. You have to depend on your judgment or your wisdom at that point. And if you're not trained, it's unwise to use physical force in isolated areas because there's you may have no chance of escape. Sometimes you might pretend to cooperate to find a chance for escaping. Go along with it to a point that you can find a weakness. That's a technique. You always practice it in advance. Well, what that means is if you're sitting at a stoplight and you're doing nothing, just sitting there at a red light, you might think, well, what would I do if someone comes up to my car? What would I do if I'm getting out of the car and I'm going to Walmart to do some shopping, wherever you shop, and you're followed by a van? And where you go, that van, man, that van's a killer. It really is. If you come up to your car after you've parked it in a large parking lot, you notice the cars around you. Just glance at them. You go inside and you come back out and there's a van that's parked right beside your car with the door opening towards where your door is for your getting in where the car is, where the driver's side is. Now, even myself, I'm trained for 3 years in martial arts. I don't care. Because I'm just as aware with these steps as anybody. You come up to that van, just be aware at the point that you lose your conscious, your awareness is when you start searching for those darn keys. That's the killer right there. Because the keys in your pocketbook, the keys in your, or if you forgot where you placed your keys, your pocket, your pocketbook, or wherever, you're focused on finding the keys, you see. So while you're looking for the keys, they're looking for an opening because they know you're aware. As a matter of fact, it's happened more than once, many times actually, where the door will open up, you'll hear the click, it'll open, grab, pull you in. Man, you just disappear off the face of the planet in less than a second, literally. And some people that see you sometimes won't even do anything. Now, if the Lord's with you, if you're, I can't go into that right now because that's up to your spiritual life and between you and God, that somebody would see you and stop you and you'd have that help. That's a whole different situation, you see. Pleading the blood of Jesus around you is the first thing you should ever do in every case. But I'm giving you also, in case you're not into that, if somebody's not into it, they don't do it every time. You know, you understand that this is a secular, also secular methods I'm talking about. But you always have to think about what you would do in certain situations. Now, other situations is different weapons you might use. Your voice is a weapon. And when you say, leave me alone, or you say no, you just don't say it quietly and scared-like. You do it loud and assertive, if that's what you're going to do. In a date rape situation, or where you know the person, saying it loud and assertive is what you have to do. But when you're in a stranger situation, whereas you put yourself in a bad position, or you're caught in a bad position. It's a stranger situation. You don't know what you're dealing with. So then you have to go different methods of dealing with it. Sometimes yelling fire or rape is a possibility of waking this person up if it's a friend, a known person. The eye contact. Weapons that you have on your body, if you're going to go physical, to tell you right off the get-go, is what's called a hammer fist, where the back of you make a fist, and it's the base of your fist, opposite of your thumb, is like a hammer on the nose. You know, if you're going to go that route, beating on the nose, you know, if you're going a physical way, or slapping on the ears real loud, poking in the eyeball. You see what can happen here. But you got to be aggressive. You can't just go barely. Hitting the throat. Now we're into secular methods. You know, and the groin. The kneecaps. That's about all you can hit. You start beating on the chest or poking in the rib cage, it's not going to work. Unless, you know, you're trained in martial arts. But soft areas of the body, if you're going to go physical, if you have the opportunity to, and your decision is to do that. Now, a lot of women, they're going to go physical if you touch their kid. Man, it's coming. Man, they see, you know, red, and look out. When you touch your children, a woman just goes in that stage, and, man, she's a weapon, a two-legged weapon, when you touch the kid. That's what I always wondered or taught in my classes years ago. That I said, and I would describe to the women in the class, you know, and I give them kind of I say, close y'all's eyes, close your eyes, y'all's, close your eyes. And I'd describe to them a situation where the children are out, and I would go through this explanation of the scenario. But I get to the part to where they grab the children, and you can see them reacting. So I knew at that point they were experiencing it, so I'd get them out of the state. And that's a long time ago that I used to do this. I wouldn't do that again today for nothing, because that's almost like, you know, hypnotism. But I say now, you saw what you felt like when someone grabbed your child. How come you can't feel that way about you, is what I would say. So your self-protection is just as important as your child. But you touch a woman's child, man, you look out, no matter who she is. She's coming at you every time. So now, in women's awareness, is just that, just being aware and not putting yourself in this position. The sorority parties are really bad for kids, and high school parties nowadays. And to know that 80% of rapes occur by people they know. You know, you'll think about a rape of a woman, you think, well, it's a stranger caught, you know, out in the public, but that's not true. Most of rapes occur by people they know, 80%, 85%. Okay, now there is more about this, but I'm going to stop there with that about the women. And I want to move into, and what you talk about in the kids still can be applied to an adult to a certain extent. But the idea is to protect the children too, obviously. And, you know, recently, and actually it's increasing, as you know, that the Spirit of God moves away from our country because of what's going on today. But the more it moves away, the more dangerous it's going to become. There's information that's surfacing. It appears that young girls under age of 10 are subject to rape and sexual abuse, especially now, as I talked about a little while ago, during the periods of holidays when they're trying to find victims for their sexual, for their sex rituals and their death rituals. I know that sounds a little bit graphic, but that's what they end up doing, is child sacrifice. People don't realize that this is what happens. You know, there's 750,000 children missing every year. 600,000, 800,000, the average is 700,000. And in studies done, 250,000 pretty much are accounted for. So that leaves 500,000 unaccounted for every year, give or take. That's where your sex rituals come from. Prostitution. It's where they mostly go to. people out there that talk of self-defense don't really breach the subject of the demonic realm and those that follow Satan as the cause for a lot of disappearance of children. And adults as well. That's all about human sacrifice, sex rituals to appease Satan in almost every case, in some way or another. It's involved supernatural. There's where spiritual warfare really comes into play. This is really the best self-defense. In a study that was done, it appears as many as 1 in 8, maybe more now, preteen girls are sexually abused. And usually the abuser is a family member, unfortunately, or a close family friend. And there's other early information that seems to indicate this to be true about 90% of the cases. And a lot of times it goes unreported. It could go on for years. Unless the parents catch some idea that, or some notion that something's unusual. Like the 7-year-old, the 6-year-old that continuously soils their pants but doesn't change it ever. There's different things. I know it's kind of graphic, but there's indicators of that child that's being sexually abused. So what do you tell your child? It's your body. No adult should be touching you when you don't want them to. Let them know that they're in control of it. And if you feel that something's wrong or being done by an adult, you're probably right. It's to tell someone. Let them know they come to you and they will tell you. Another is never go with strangers. That's something you always tell your kids. And this also means like a neighbor, unless you got a trusted neighbor and you got a code word where they pick them up at school or take them to the mall. It's always good to have a code word with that trusted stranger. And if the stranger don't know the code word, then if you don't know, you don't go. Don't matter if it is a neighbor. You see, but there should never be a case where the child doesn't know that somebody's going to pick them up. But I want to cover right quick some signals that might indicate the child has been sexually abused. Changes in behavior, such as eating habits, a loss of sleep. They become more aggressive or disruptive or withdrawing from regular activity like before they did before. That's why you got to pay attention to them. Changes in friendship or relationships. And sometimes this indicates getting involved in the Wicca, which also indicates a sexual situation going on. And not always, but sometimes. Marks or irritations in the genitals or anal areas. Difficulty in concentration, grades going down, or change in school performances. Change of clothing. Unexplainable fear or dislike for an adult, whether it be a close family friend or a relative. You can't put anything out of your mind that may be possible. While some of these symptoms might occur for other reasons, this might give you an idea or a clue about discussing it with your child. And then, of course, you have hotline numbers that you can call for help outside. Now, I sort of really went over quickly the dating situation in college and just not putting yourself in a bad situation in these parties. That you got to watch out for. And the 5 stages of conflict, the 5 stages of an attack, really could be played out in a sorority party. You see? So it's not just on the street type of thing. Now, children, I got like 15 minutes to go. Now, I want to cover some things for children specifically. In very young children, and you'd have to practice this with your kids, getting them to repeat to you what they're going to do and how they're going to behave in certain places. But never let them alone. And always keep your eye on them, because you can be shopping, that little 3 or 6 year old can wander off by something. And it happens quite often. And most certainly leave them in the car in the winter, in the summertime. Of course, now this is getting toward winter, but that's always been a problem. That's still self-defense. Now, teach your child that the first weapon is the voice and the mind, the training. And you might have them in a dangerous situation, and you can practice this with them. Kids are taught to be seen but not heard, right? Well, in the case of a bad situation, if you teach your child, is to be heard and seen. You see, that's how you reverse it. You know, you might have them stop back, and I'm not going to do it on the air, of course, but in my training, I would do it in real, and it usually scare people. I'd say it real loud. I'd yell real loud, "You're not my dad," and I'd do it real loud, real aggressive, and it'd make people kind of, oh. Well, that's what you want to teach your child to do, and you practice it, you know, and show them what to do when they come upon a stranger. That's the indicator. That's the okay sign from you for them to yell loud. And if they're known, you yell their name. Or words like, "You're kidnapping me. Stop it." Real loud. "Stranger, stranger, stranger." Real loud and aggressive, assertive. So parents say to be seen but not heard. Well, this is not the case now. Now, a kid 3 to 6 by an adult, you think, well, what kind of self-defense can a kid do? Well, not a whole lot. But I did come up with some ideas that you can teach your kid, teach your child. I keep saying kid, but, you know, but some things you might be able to teach your child. But you have to practice this if you're going to teach it to them. And, of course, it'd be much better if they never had to learn this, that they're never left alone. You understand? But if caught, here's some things that might be some ideas I came up with. Now, self-defense, martial arts, is not going to work. I mean, really. Unless that kid's taken 5 years and a black belt at 6 years old, you know, and even then, you know, might be a problem. So I thought, well, you know, I got to think of some ways it's really going to work in the street that could be taught very quickly, at least possible. Well, here's some ideas. You might want to jot these down. And, of course, I assume that this is recorded. I know on my website it also is recorded, but I'm assuming this is recorded also so you can go back to it. But one technique that you can teach your child is what I call dead weight. Now, you've got a 3 to 6 year old, and I'm guessing 70 pounds or 60, I don't know, maybe 90 pounds or a weight of a child. If they just go dead weight, just fall just completely just limp like a dish rag, they become a problem for the attacker because that's going to cause them to have to pick them up or drag them because that's a lot of weight there. And you try to have a person that's unequal weight, unequally distributed or in a ball, that's a problem that you've caused for them. So they're either going to start kicking the child or they're going to try to pick up the child. It's got to be one of the two. Well, there's something we're going to do about that. Another one is to grab the leg like it's a tree trunk and just hold on to it. That's another way. That becomes the dead weight, but another option. So if they are going to drag them, they can yell the whole way. Struggling and wiggling, being drugged, causes problems for the attacker. If he decides to pick them up, now, what he's done is they picked him up and brought them to the head because they got to cradle him like you might, but pick him up. Well, now what you got here is a different situation. That's where you teach your child to headbutt on the nose or to kick like you're swimming. Also, what I call the ear slap. If the hands are free, in other words, you take his little palms and slap the ears, the attacker's going to let that kid down. He's going to put that kid down, drop him, kick him, or whatever, but he's getting down. Or take the little fingers and put them together and start stabbing the eyes. Teach him like a chicken eats, you know, like a chicken pecking for eating the food. Well, that's what you do with the fingers, and you go for the eyeballs. He's going to put that kid down. He's going to put that kid down. When he hit the ground running. I also taught the children, when I was teaching the child self-defense, and when the adult puts you down, look at the belt buckle and hit as hard as you want to below the belt buckle, just as hard as you want. And run like the dickens, making noise the whole way. You see, there are certain things they can do. But when you teach these kids, your children, something like this, you want to make sure they don't go around with their other kids showing them what they know. That's the problem. Is when you teach children technique, they want to go to school and show and tell. That's not always good at all. You see, so you want to teach them responsively and not to do this to other people, because if you have a bully that learns these things, that's a problem. Now, if they're in a car, honking the horn, putting the car in park or jerking the gear shift, if they're in the back seat to attack the driver, if they're in the trunk to knock out the light with a tire iron or kick it or some way to knock out that back light, if you can teach them that, that way they get their hand through there, if that depends on the car, and someone might see it when the car is going. You see, different type of situation there. It's unlikely they'll overpower an adult, but it gives them some idea of what to do. And you know that 75% are abducted from their own home. 60% return for one reason or another. But it's that 500,000 that I'm concerned about. Parents, know your child's activity. Listen to your child. Watch for their reactions. Have open communication. And reassess their lesson of safety on a regular basis. Have them to know their location at all times. And any change of plans, make sure your child will check in every time. And rehearse with your child what they might do out in public. Make sure they know the full name and phone number and how to use the phone. And this has saved lives as well as in self-defense situations. Have a trusted friend as a point of contact with a code word. Have good babysitters. Sometimes it may pay, if you have stranger babysitters, you might say, to have cameras, depending on your situation. Not everybody can do that. But a lot of times cameras have shown where the babysitters were abusive. And always check with your child when the babysitter goes home on how things went that day. Never, 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 ever open doors to strangers when you're alone. And you have a lot of what's called latchkey kids, where they come home before the parent has come home. And they should never open up a door for a stranger, even if they're in uniform or handyman and this kind of thing, unless it's been planned ahead of time. And the child should know about that. But that's still a problem. Some other things you might tell your child is the following. Rule number one. If mom and dad don't know, I can't go. Rule number two. If they're not in the mind bank, in other words, they're not that trusted friend, no thanks, no matter who it is. If they're not in the mind bank, then they don't, no thanks for the ride, or you want to go to get ice cream or whatever. Or can I come in? No, mom's not home. Oh, I know y'all, let me come in. No. They don't know the code word. They ain't coming in. Rule number three, run and tell, find help and tell. Let them know what they can do there. Also, in stranger danger classes I taught, rule number one, never take rides from strangers. That's a given. Rule number two, never take gifts from strangers. They use that as a lure. Rule number three, stay close to mom and dad when out in public. Number four, always let your parents know where you are at all times. Number five, always get help if there's trouble and teach them how to find help. Run and scream or tell your parents right away If you see a stranger grabbing a friend, remember as much as you can about what the stranger looked like. Rule number six. I mentioned this before, but never open the door to strangers. And sometimes they'll have uniforms on, or they'll be very convincing. And that really goes for you, too, about giving rise to people that maybe need trouble, need help. You can call 911 just as easy as they can. You see, so be careful. It's not used as a ruse. And nowadays it becomes, it's not being paranoid, but nowadays it's necessary that you be aware like this, especially now. So, I've talked about, it seemed to work out an entire hour. We've talked about this, that I usually cover in 2 or 3 hours. And remember the 5 T's. They'll target, they'll find a target, they'll test the target, they'll threaten, touch, and take off. So if you're in a home invasion situation, they would target the house, so you look for the same car. Look for the person walking up to your door that you don't know. That's a target. Then they'll test it. There's a knock on the door. They'll threaten. That's in the breaking. You see how it works? It works in a lot of cases, the 5 T's. And before you ever go physical, though, if you ever do, keep in mind there's environmental weapons around you. Your keys in your hand, flashlight, a pen, ink pen, in certain places in the body, pepper, a book, hairspray, a lemon squeeze bottle with ammonia in it. You see, any weapon, if you're going to use a weapon, is only good as much as you have your hands on it. Otherwise, it's no good. The 2-second rule, if something doesn't work in 2 seconds, do something else. Assailant with an armed with a weapon, you can agree that was probably a good idea. Doesn't necessarily mean you're going to survive, but that's where you depend on God here. If they don't have God in their life, well, they have secular methods they can use. You're running, but make sure you can outrun the person. If you got stilettos on, that's a problem. To give up the object, or, God forbid, if it ever came to it, deadly force, assuming you're able to do it. All these decisions you got to make, you can't make them without first doing what? Breathing. Points of contact with these so-called weapons is eyes, nose, throat, ears, and what I call Mr. Happy, the temple of the head, all the head targets, kneecaps, insteps of the feet, the hair, these kind of things. Not what you see in martial arts classes and martial arts movies, but these are effective. And make sure you teach your kid not to be a bully. Because bullying is another problem. Now, I have taught classes on being a bully, on how to deal with a bully. But that's another class, actually, in teaching your kid how to handle bullies. And nowadays, the schools aren't helping at all. Because at schools, the teachers are, that's a whole different situation about what they're encountering with teachers today. Because they're not reporting it. They're keeping low profile. They're not even teaching much anymore because of core belief, no child behind, etc. The teachers, the schools are controlled. And it's dangerous in the schools today for your kids, unfortunately, but it is. So, that's where you have to know your child and talk to them when they come home. When we're invested in their own time and we don't find out what our kid's going on, you won't know what's going on at school. And they're being bullied. And being bullied is another reason that they change their behavior. Very quickly, applying the principles I've given you, then what you would do at an ATM about purse snatching, about sexual assault, home invasions, all these apply at these cases. Carjacking, road rage behavior, all kinds of situations. What would you do? You rehearse it now. What you would do in these cases. So, that's pretty much it. We covered the basics. And as I went over them. And I can go over a few other things. You have, I know you want to have questions, I think, I assume, or comments. But in bullying, I'll quickly cover this very quickly. I won't go in detail. But sometimes making friends with a bully, sometimes not always easy. Well, use humor. Sometimes it can turn a threatening situation into a funny one about bullies at school. Walk away. Don't get involved in it. Just walk away. Or use trickery. Use your creative imagination to resolve the conflict. Or agree with the bully. Let insults just go without fighting back. Of course, you got the pride thing that sticks up. But sometimes it's better than just being bullied or beat up. Refuse to fight. The winner of the fight is one who avoids it. Or stand up to the bully. And sometimes it requires that. Stick up for yourself. Just say no to bullying. You know, you have to teach your kid about what to do. And every situation won't always be the same. And sometimes I would teach that you need to stand up to the bully in certain situations and cases. Be able to yell or scream if you're getting beat up or whatever. A powerful shout can sometimes end the conflict before it starts. Showing aggression is a method that can be used. Or ignore the threat, like the bamboo that bends in the wind. Or using authority. Now, in this case at school, sometimes the teachers just aren't the authority. It depends on the teacher. It depends on the school's culture, I guess you could say. Sometimes you can reason with the bully. Use your brain. Those are just some ideas. And not every situation is going to be the same. But what I gave you was a potpourri, a smorgasbord of ideas about what to do. A member of the children being picked up, hitting the nose with a palm heel, with a hammer fist, with eyes. See, a kid can go up against an adult in some cases. You know, I give you some ideas about that, but your traditional martial arts is not going to work for a child. It has to be non-traditional martial arts if that's what they're going to do. But the spiritual sense of being aware, getting close to Jesus, is really a defense technique that I would do first employ. Any questions? There you go.
All right. The studio is open.
Hello?
Yes, we're here.
Okay. Yeah. All right, so is there any questions about what I've talked about or comments that you want to add to it? Anything you'd like? Now it's open for questions and comments, I suppose.
Okay, the studio is open. If you have a comment or you have a question, please feel free to press that number one and come on in. Good morning to you, Pastor Stan, Brother Aaron, Brother Ron, Sister Ellis, Brother Pedro, Brother Anthony, Minister Val, Brother Frank. Good morning to you, Brother Lewis, Sister Linda, and good morning to you again, Tom. So, all right, Sister Gloria, I'm coming at you right now. Good morning. God bless you. How are you?
Good morning, everyone. I was watching the news on yesterday, and concerning bullying, I see that there's an app now that the children can have on their phones, and immediately as they are, you know, being bullied, they can press that button, the app button.
Good point.
I saw that on yesterday.
Wow, that is good to know.
That's really good.
Yes. So that's going to inform someone. I don't know if it's informing the parent, teacher, or some agency, but there's an app that the children can get on their cell phones. I saw that yesterday.
Okay. That's wonderful information. You don't know which app it is, Sister Gloria.
No, I will have to go on the computer and Google that news story from yesterday to find out. So I will search for it, and I will send you a text.
Okay. Also, I want to give this out right quick. The National Domestic Violence Hotline number. The National Domestic Violence Hotline number is 1-800-799-7233. Again, that's 1-800-799-7233. And I'll be putting the website and the phone number on at www.freedomdoorsministries.com. I'll put that on the website so if someone want to go there and get that national domestic violence hotline, because if you're being beat in your home by your spouse or your girlfriend, boyfriend, whoever it is, you're afraid or whatever, you can call this national hotline, and I'm sure they can tell you where to go and what to do to get out of that situation. Because a lot of people don't really understand being a punching bag, you can be punched the wrong way and punched right out of you. You'll be dead and gone. And it's not worth that because, as Tom said earlier, sometimes people have become adults, but they were abused in their childhood. And hurting people hurt people. You know, the mother abused her daughter. She have children, and she began to abuse her children, and the cycle just continued. But if you want to get out from under being beaten and mistreated, then you want to call 1-800-799-7233. And, Tom, I have a question for you. How about...
I have another question after you, Minister Barbara.
Okay. This is one here, Tom. How about not putting yourself in a position where you can become a victim alone in an area?
Right. Well, I talked about that very early on, is to do just that, not put yourself in a bad situation, situational awareness, by not going down that shortcut. I recovered that. Putting yourself in a party situation or going home with somebody you partially know, at a sorority or a fraternity party, or just situational awareness, not doing that particular thing. In other words, not putting yourself in that position. Not getting your money late at night. Be getting your money during the daytime at the ATM.
Right.
You see, I mean, but what happens in parties is they go to a party, a sorority party, fraternity party, house party, whatever. Everybody's in a jovial, happy-go-lucky mood, but really you got predators there, and they're really good actors. And they'll drop drugs in the drink, or they'll act real friendly, and they can really do that really well. And then the girl says, oh, okay, you don't mind taking me home? No, I don't mind. Well, that's not a good idea. That's a bad idea. So you should always have, a ride home, and a ride home anytime you go to a party. But stranger... rape and attacks are really the most common at all ages, actually. And dating on the internet, that's another big one, real big one. Watch how the man, usually that's the case, watch how the man treats other people, what I call non-persons. A non-person is a service person or a co-worker, someone that there's no personal real relationship with. But like how he treats the waiter, the waitress, the taxi cab driver, the co-worker, or the employees, or that's like a non-person, you see. Because he's going to treat you nice, or should, the first 90 days of any dating situation. If he's not treating you nice the first date, there should be a clue right there. But usually they do the right thing the first 90 days, give or take. So, you know, they treat you nice, open up the door, and all this and all that. But watch how they treat other people, other drivers, you know, road rage behavior, or cats. I don't like cats. Hey, get that stupid cat away. That should raise a red flag right quick. How he treats his mother, or how he treats the family, you see, and how he's going to treat you. You see, that's indicators. Have any keys ready? Yeah, when you're going to your car, it's another situation. Don't wait to get to your car. If you see a van parking there, I would be very careful about getting in the car if there's a van perfectly parked there with the door toward my driver's side. I'm very careful about it myself. You know, even myself. You know, I'm a martial artist. I've trained for 30-some years. Trained military, law enforcement, etc. Who cares? Man, when you're there and they knock you on the head, where was your training at? If you're unaware and think you can't be hurt, well, you can be, you see. So mm-hmm. situation awareness is very important. Go ahead.
Yes, yes. Okay, Sister Gloria, your next question.
Yes, I have a question. You know, I heard him say something about a non-person and what that means. I didn't hear all the program, but did you speak about workplace violence?
Absolutely. Well, I didn't talk specifically about that, but all the principles I've talked about applies to that. Now, what level of workplace violence are you speaking of exactly? Are you talking about walking in the office and starting shooting people immediately, or just arguments, or what?
Well, I had two supervisors. One attacked, hit me with the door. The door swings out my way, so he's coming through the door, and he sees me, and he pushes the door, and the door hits me really hard, and then he keeps walking, and I kind of like was sailing like stars, and I wanted to turn around and go back and attack him, but I didn't, because I figured, you know, I can get fired even though he did what he did. And another supervisor, about a month or so ago, I went to open the door, and he yanked it really hard to injure me. So these are things that between myself and them, and if there's no witnesses, I can't prove it. But God knows what happened. These are my supervisors.
Okay, well, there seems like there's something else brewing there that, you know, that you're going to have to address. This outward show of aggression is only an indicator of something deeper, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, something else is going on there. You know, I can't begin to even imagine what it is. Maybe you have somebody's position they want to give, or there's a personality conflict, or I don't know, or they're finding you as a threat. I don't know. You know, but obviously I would stay clear of them because they're trying
to. Yeah, I do. I do my best to stay clear of them because I don't want to get near them because I don't want them to try to attack me again, you know, and, you know,
well,
I don't want to. I watch. I don't be around them. I keep my distance.
But maybe something else might be. They may be trying.
Someone told me that it's a demonic environment, a demonic environment.
Okay, two points I want to make here. One is, one of two, and you hit the nail on the head right there. The secular point I want to make is that they're maybe trying to provoke you to get you fired.
Right. It's time for me to retire. I can retire if I want to next year, and they, you know.
And then number two, you hit on it way before I did, is that how does Satan attack you to get you from your spiritual walk? Is it at home, at work, or out in the public of friends or people, acquaintances, or somehow to cause you to get angry, to attack yourself, which feeds into the demonic realm? And to cause you to lose faith, to have fear, to have anger, cause you to pull away from what God wants us to do and to be. And that's another way they can do it. And you're exactly right. It's demonic. It can certainly be supernatural. That's where you plead the blood of Jesus around you and to pray for patience and peace, awareness, and wisdom. And what to do. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, hello? Go ahead.
We can hear you, Sister Gloria.
Yeah, I need to plead the blood of Jesus and pray and all that. And I'm working on, praying that my blood pressure go down and everything because I've been, dealing with a lot of stress there, you know.
But it keeps you from your personal walk with Jesus by these activities at work. You separate it, but actually it's connected. You know, and you need to connect it. Your prayer. Your pray for patience, wisdom, discernment, and for help.
Yeah.
That's really
yeah.
What,
are the main keys right there, Tom. That prayer for wisdom. Because, see, when people are doing stuff to us, we try not to, fight back, let the Lord fight my battles. But sometimes without knowing it, we fight back, and they see the attitude, and that makes them, that demonic spirit, it makes it come after us even the more. And then sometimes it's the way we've done something on the job. You know, I could file a grievance and shut my mouth, just file the grievance. Or go to my supervisor alone, not before other people. Go to that supervisor alone and try and talk to the supervisor. And if y'all can't resolve it, say, well, I see we can't come to a meeting of the mind. You know, we can't agree. So what I'm going to do is just, you know, file a grievance. Or I wouldn't even say anything sometimes. It depends on the supervisor and the situation. Go ahead and file a grievance and see what happens.
Go ahead.
I've done that before, and you get retaliation. I've done that before, and that's the problem now. You get retaliation.
File your grievance.
No,
you played up and passed it up, because after you put that paperwork in about them, they are coming after you and all of their friends on the job. You're blackballed. You are the black sheep of the employees.
Yep.
I'm telling you now.
I know.
You got to pray, you know. And a lot of times, you know, unless God spoke and told you to write that grievance, I wouldn't write it. I would just pray and ask God to strengthen me and have patience. Lord, help me to have patience, because I know you see what's going on, and you're going to work this out for me. Yeah.
Yes.
But if you a grievance or you come against that supervisor, the supervisor and all their friends are coming after you. That's what I can tell you.
There's additional factor.
Yeah.
There's additional factor there that I'm going to throw in there that I'm very much, very, very much aware of, personal experience actually, is the Freemasonry and Eastern Stars within companies work together no matter what. In legal, in grievances, unions, Freemasonry, of course, is of Satan. There's no doubt about that. And Freemasonry, they hang together no matter what, because they're under a blood oath to help each other. And if there's a woman there, a wife or an employee that's an Eastern Star, you got some serious trouble on your hand, because they will never go against the Freemasons. Will never go against Freemasons. That's the underlining part. Even if there's a judge, you're going to lose. And that's a big problem. Is Freemasonry in the workplace, in the schools, and especially also because you can connect it to Wiccan. And Freemasonry is all connected. And then it goes right back to Lucifer. But legal recourse in the workplace harassment is a good idea, but if you've got Freemasonry involved, you're going to lose.
Yeah.
You know, every time.
It's back to what I recommend. I recommend prayer unto the Lord for patience. I recommend God strengthen me.
Yeah.
Lord, I'm being attacked here. Should I stay or should I leave? You tell me what to do. Because even in your retirement, God have a way of working all of that out, sugar. I'm just telling you the truth. And see, a lot of people have called me a rebel because being in a church where the pastor is attacking me, I lost his mind, and I can't stay there. And I hear people say, well, the Lord told me to stay there. Well, you stay on in there with it, because I'm not. I'm just not going to deal with the devil like that. I bind you up, and see, a lot of people stay because of position, money. I'm not staying with the devil talking about money, when God is the supplier of my needs. No, I'm not going through all of that. For what? This is not my home. This is my workstation. I'm only passing through. Yeah. Now, if God speak and say, stay there, I got to do it. But what I've learned about him is I don't lean to my own understanding, and I'm acknowledging him in all my ways. He's going to direct my path. I promise you. He's going to tell me, don't write a grievance. Hey, don't say that to that supervisor. Don't look at him over there like that. Walk away. Go to the left. No, turn down, go to the right. I want you to disappear by going straight back. This is the move of God. But when we've taken matters into our own hands and we've leaned to our own understanding and messed up and this thing is ugly, I don't know what to say other than keep praying. That's all we can do. Because like he said, if they touching and agreeing, and on every side, no matter where you go, they on the supervisor side. The courts on it, the attorneys, even the attorney representing you is on the supervisor side. You out of game. So the only thing you can do now is pray and allow God to come in and take over. All right, Brother Ron, I'm coming at you right now. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Evangelist Mac. How are you?
Blessed today.
Yes, we are. I just got two comments to make. First of all, we should always be aware of our surroundings. I know a quick scenario. You're out walking down the street. It's late at night. You're on your way somewhere. There's 4, 5, 6 people in the middle of your path. My suggestion is so safe to do. Cross the street, continue your journey, and be watchful as you cross the street and continue your journey. Should any of those people who are standing on the sidewalk start to come your way, it's time to pull out the cell phone. Another thing, all friends aren't friends. I had a so-called friend. You know what I'm saying? I knew this brother for a good 10, 12 years. We grew up together. Thought he was my friend. Yeah. Set me up to get robbed. Be careful who your friends are. I want to say thank the Lord today for the life I do have. I thank you for waking me up this morning. And I just want to say God bless all the listeners. That's all I have this morning. Go in peace, love, and happiness.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, look, all I know is this today. We watch as well as pray. And Tom mentioned that. And don't get yourself in an area that's lonely. There's no one around but you.
Mm-hmm.
Before it's ladies, before you get into your car, you want to check out that scope that area real good. Yeah. And my daughter and I was out, and this van was parked next to us, and they had handcuffs on the mirror. And there were two men sitting in the van, and they was waiting for victims to come.
Mm-hmm.
Daughter and I, we rolled up now, and she's about 6'1", 6 feet at least. I'm 5'6". But guess what? I'm telling you, it would have been a fight right there in the parking lot. Now, they have what they call this stuff, not smelling salt. It's stuff that knock you out. Okay, you might have got me. But if you just coming straight to dump me, I'll think so, even from the back. The elbows will go to working. That's all I can say. Yeah, I'm going to put what's happening on you. One thing about it, you may get me now, but you'll know you've been in a fight. That's all I can tell you. But I'm going to throw my area out. I'm going to watch as well as pray. And Tom said he heard many times that people have used Jesus, you know, to spare their lives. You could try and witness to them or whatever. But I can't tell you I'm going to try and witness to you and you put your hands on me. I can't promise that.
That's right.
Yeah, all I can promise is you've been in a... He told me I can use an ink pen.
Yep.
And put a little ammonia in a bottle, spray bottle with a cap on it in my purse. And nobody know my purse and how to get into it as quick as I know how to get in it.
That's
so
right.
Guess what? The fight is on. May the best one of us win.
Yep.
The attacker or the victim. So, ladies, please be careful. Teach your children about bullying. Yeah. and teach your children, just like he said, what we talk about at home concerning what I'm teaching you is not to share with other children. This is what I don't understand many times about America. They will tell the criminal how to get by with the crime.
Mm-hmm.
I could never understand it. They will tell the murderer how to get away with murder.
That's right.
I'm like, why would you do it? But that's the American way. But listen, teach your children, ladies, be careful, men too, because they don't just come after women. They will come after men. You by yourself tonight at the ATM late at night. In Jacksonville, after 9 o'clock, well, I'm going to say this now, babe. After 8 o'clock in Jacksonville, if you don't have a job to go to, and there's not an emergency you need to be out in the dark attending to, be in your house. A lot of crimes committed here 1 and 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. No good is out that time of morning roaming the street. Now, if you coming from work, you know, you just a victim, I understand. But you all down in the ghetto, what are you doing riding a bicycle through the ghetto? Why are you driving 3 o'clock in the morning through the ghetto? Something is going on that's not right. That time of morning, either you in your bed sleep or you up getting ready for work, unless an emergency has happened at your house. I'm just telling you. Because the way things are out here, if you want to be safe, be home. And you still not say that to a certain degree. God got to yet keep us. Because people shoot through your window, shoot through your door, all kinds of stuff. So we just need to be careful. That's all. I thank you so much for coming this morning, Tom. I got to get out of here. I have an appointment. Yeah. I thank you so much for coming and sharing self-defense and women awareness and child protection today. This is good information he has given us, even on that bullying tip. Oh, I see some old hands. I'm so sorry. Good morning, Brother Frank. God bless you. How are you?
Good morning. I'm just saying good morning. I know you got to go, and so do I. So good morning to everyone. God bless everyone. And I pray for the blood of Jesus to protect all people who are in situation, whatever it may be.
Yeah, yeah.
In Jesus' name, amen.
And look, intercessors, y'all keep Sister Gloria in prayer on this job. Because I don't want to go down to her job and straighten them out for her. Y'all keep her in prayer. All right. So God bless you this morning. Good morning. How are you?
God bless you. God bless you all. That's a good subject. I'm going to make it very, very short. God bless you all. I love this subject about children. What you guys talk about explains a lot of things. Why we have to keep praying for one another. We have to keep praying for one another. You know, every time we pray, we open up the heavens. We open up the heavens. God opens up heaven when we do intercessions for our children, because they're our future. And he sends down angels to fight our battles. That's why, you know, vengeance is his, not ours. And subjects like this shows us that you can't stop. There's a reason why we have to pray. And I thank God for the information, because that's very helpful and good insight. And to let other people know that are listening and that are not spiritually filled, this is the reason why we pray. This is only part of it. But I thank God for the subject, and it was wonderful, and it was food for my fuel in my spiritual life. And God bless you all, and keep me in prayer as always, as I keep you in prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Pedro.
God bless you, Brother Pedro.
Yes. I got to pray us out right quick. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for all that has been said and done. Thank you, Lord, for good, wholesome information, information that will keep us safe as your people. Father, we know that you put information out so that we can receive and obey, and it will help to keep us safe. We ask this morning that as we depart, Father, you would bless us going out and bless us coming in. Continue to meet the need in our lives today according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. And this morning as we depart, Father, those that are in financial need, I ask that you would move on their behalf this morning in the name of Jesus. Lord, you know what each and every one of us need today. But we ask more so than anything else that you would grow us spiritually in you. That God, we would obey your word and we would obey you when you speak to our spirit at any cost today. In the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you. We give you glory, honor, and praise. And again, we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. May the Lord watch between me and thee. We are absent one from another. In the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus. Give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you. October the 14th, 2014, in Jesus' name. Again, have a blessed day, and at this time, I got to say bye-bye.
One love.
Bye-bye. God bless all.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.